welcome back to Consider This. I'm Lisa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. A recent survey by the Women's Aid Organisation showed that despite more than a third of Malaysians having experienced stalking, existing laws in Malaysia do not adequately help those at the receiving end. And joining us on the line now, we have Yuren Chung. He is the Deputy Executive Director at WAO. Welcome to the show, Yuren Chung. Now, can you begin by explaining why this survey focused on stalking? Why now?
Well, thanks, Lisa, and thanks, Sharad, for having WAO on. WAO, together with research firm Fast.ai, conducted this survey because we knew we had a lot of evidence that stalking was a pressing issue in Malaysia based on a lot of cases that WAO handled, based on experiences from abroad, how, you know, stalking laws is something that uniformly is a problem elsewhere. But we were missing one important piece of data, which is just how many people are affected by stalking in Malaysia. We had an idea based on looking at domestic violence numbers and how domestic violence relates to stalking, but we didn't really have a concrete evidence to show, look, exactly how many people are facing stalking and having a problem.
Renchung, what I liked about the survey was it educated me as well to what constitutes stalking. Everything from getting unsolicited messages online to having your property damaged and the like. Yeah. Maybe you can shed some light very quickly. Do Malaysians truly understand the range of what constitutes stalking?
I think Malaysians have an idea of, you know, when I'm being stalked, it's something I feel that I don't like, and have an idea of what that is. But to give a concrete definition of stalking, it really has three elements. The first is that it's exactly what you said. There's some element, some action that is associated with stalking. So somebody's following me, somebody's messaging me, somebody's leaving things where I may find them, somebody's showing up in my house, showing up in my office. So that's one element. The other element is that thing is, the action is repeated or it's continuous. So it's happening to me today, tomorrow, next week. And the third element is that it has some negative impact on me, in that it's either causing me fear or distress. So you can imagine a situation where you're being followed, someone's showing up at your office, showing up at your home. When you're in the shopping mall, they call you and say, hey, I know where you are right now. You're in cinema number 4. So these are actions that you can, anyone viewing them from the outside can say, hey, yeah, that happened to me. I'm going to be fearful. I'm going to be distressed.
Renchung, it seems to be one of the other paradoxes of contemporary life is that because of social media, we're putting ourselves out there, we're oversharing on social media, we are calling attention to ourselves, we want attention. And yet, at the same time, there seems to be a line between that, a culture that is accepted, and this, the attention that's not wanted, that's unsolicited, in a way that is threatening. So how do we calibrate this so that we don't, we don't get ourselves in a bind? I mean, what exactly, where is the gray areas in this stalking issue?
I think that's a good point. I mean, there are two things I would say. The first is that when people do these kind of things, they experience different kinds of reactions and backlash. So me, as a man, when I share things, for example, I may not be subject to the same kind of doxing or harassment or unwanted messages that a woman in my position may feel. So the effect of that sharing is unequally felt. So I think that's one problem. The second problem is that, you know, we all want to live in a society where we're free to do things that we want to do, you know, as long as we're not harming other people. So we want to live in a society where, you know, I'm free to express myself on social media, on Facebook, in any other platform. So the role of the government, the role of the law here is really, it should help ensure both that everyone is able to express themselves in a way that is meaningful to them, and that the law protects everyone equally. Everyone should be able to have that same right. So as far as the law goes, we need to ensure that, you know, we have some kind of protection, some kind of limit for people who may be experiencing this kind of harassment or stalking online or offline.
Okay.
That's why we need a stalking offence.
So there are legal protections for certain forms of stalking, but you argue that they're not adequate. The laws don't adequately protect the victims of stalking.
That's right. So, for example, if you're being harassed by a relative or a spouse, so your husband or wife, or an ex-spouse, then you might be covered under the Domestic Violence Act. And then if you're being abused, you can get some kind of protection through a protection order or an interim protection order against being followed or further harassed. If you're a victim of if you're a trafficked person, you can get a protection order, for example. But what our survey showed is that stalking affects so many kinds of between so many people relationships. So people are stalked by strangers, are stalked by acquaintances, are stalked by boyfriend or girlfriend, and none of these categories of people are protected under any existing law. And the majority, the vast majority of stalking cases involve those kinds of relationships. So these people are completely left out of the protection mechanisms currently.
Richard, in what ways is stalking gendered as compared to, say, sexual harassment, which I know is gendered disproportionately, women are the victims, but is that true of stalking?
Correct. Well, what we found in our survey is that stalking affects both women and men, a bit differently, but both are affected quite high. So overall, about a third of Malaysians, we estimate, based on this survey, experienced stalking, which caused them fear. So they were followed or received a lot of messages and so on, continuously or repeatedly, and that action caused them fear. So that's what we really want to capture as stalking, so 36%. But what we found, what the survey found also was that for women who are being stalked, women tend to be more fearful, to be stalked in a way that makes them more scared. Men also, but a bit more for women. Whereas for the men, the stalking tends to involve threats or actual harm. So it will escalate to physical harm or involve threats. So those are at lower levels, so we find that men experience those a bit more than women. So it's, stalking here, I think it's a very interesting thing that we found, and an important thing that we found through the survey is that, yes, there's a gendered component, but stalking and severe kinds of stalking which causes fear, leads to harm, is quite high. About a third of Malaysians experience stalking that causes them fear. That's a high number, which is still in line with what we would expect from looking at other countries.
Ranjan, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and that survey and the results of that survey were illuminating to us. Thank you for putting it out there. That's all the time we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.